app.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. It's expected to feel like 101 degrees today from Kansas City north to Milwaukee and south to the upper Gulf Coast. CBS meteorologist David Parkinson.
The heat and humidity gives you the dangerous heat index we will see today and really through the end of the week.
Those temps 10 to 15 degrees above normal for this time of year. And it's not just here. This American tourist is in Athens, where the high today is 101.
We are staying inside during the middle of the day and finding air-conditioned restaurants and stores.
The Acropolis was closed for 5 hours because of the heat. The Philippines President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. visits President Trump at the White House today. CBS's Natalie Brand.
Tariffs and trade will be one of the main focuses of this meeting. It comes after that letter that the president sent to the Philippines threatening a 20% tariff on Filipino goods.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Governor Tony Evers has declared this week as Aviation Week in Wisconsin in honor of the Experimental Aircraft Association Air Venture event in Oshkosh. EAA Air Venture is one of the world's largest air shows and draws hundreds of thousands of people from across the state and greater Midwest region. Officials say around 686,000 people attended Air Venture in 2024, bringing a significant economic impact to the region. The yearly event features thousands of aircrafts, including aerobatic performances, pyrotechnics, and more. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is sharing safety tips for kids riding ATVs and UTVs. DNR officials say there have already been 21 fatal crashes this year, most of which involved riders who were not wearing a helmet or seatbelt. They're reminding younger riders that helmets are required for anyone under 18 years old, and riders under 16 years old must operate age-appropriate vehicles. They're also reminding anyone born in 1988 or later that they are required to complete an ATV safety certification course before operating alone. The official demolition of Zorn Arena at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire is scheduled to take place this week. The university has already started tearing down the nearby Kerr Theater and Brewer Hall as it advances plans to turn that section of the campus into green space and a pedestrian walkway. The arena had previously served as the home for basketball games, as well as commencement ceremonies and political rallies. Those events now take place at the new Sonnentag facility, which officially opened earlier this year. Local child care workers, activists, and parents attended a rally at Phoenix Park in Eau Claire over the weekend, urging state legislators to invest more funding in child care. The event was organized by Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed following the completion of the new biennial state budget. Organizers say the funding approved for supporting the child care industry is not enough to keep many facilities running. They're urging lawmakers to pass already proposed legislation that would provide $480 million in child care investments. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Miz takes on the Mariners. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight in Seattle, where the Brewers rookie, Jacob Mizorowski, faces the Mariners. The Crew winning last night 6-0. Brandon Woodruff went 6 innings on just 62 pitches, allowing only 2 hits in the shutout. Milwaukee now with an 11-game winning streak. NFL, the Packers sign right tackle Zach Tom to a 4-year deal worth $88 million, over $30 million in a signing bonus, the largest ever for an NFL offensive lineman. What makes Zach Tom so special?
I think he can play any position. He kind of found his home at right tackle. I think his versatility is one of the things that makes him special. I think he can play all five, and there's not a lot of guys that can do that. I would say that he's got the athleticism. I think he's a very intelligent football player, and he's played pretty consistent over the course of the last few years.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Partly to mostly cloudy with a chance of isolated thunderstorms this afternoon into this evening. It's going to be muggy today with a high near 90 and a heat index near 100. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. Scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night. It's going to be hot and humid tomorrow with a high near 94. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 71.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Jordan Leon and Amy Mazzariello, owners of the Lion's Mouth Bookstore in Green Bay. Then Green Bay comedian Kristen Lighty joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our home here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up at the very end of the show, around 10:51-ish, we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Here Kitty Kitty edition. I would encourage you to stick around for that for a few laughs. Tisbet, as we call it. Yes, wrapping indeed. Up the show. This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Coming up around 10:51. Happy to be joined by our friend Corinne Hendrickson, has been our guest many, many times over the past few months, particularly as we talk about childcare issues in Wisconsin. You were a child care provider for a long time, Corinne, and good morning, first of all, and now you have to make a change.
Yeah, good morning. Are you able to hear me, or did I just get weird?
No, well, you're good. You're good.
We're good? Okay. So, all right. So, yeah, my oldest son is actually going to college, so I'm on the Memorial Union Terrace while he signs up for his classes, and yeah, I will be closing my business August 29th because there just wasn't enough funding in the state budget for me to continue staying open without outpricing my parents. And at the end of the day, after 18 years, I finally am realizing I need to put my family and myself first too. And I have to be able to, you know that I will be okay. And if I would have tried to struggle like I did last year, the open spots right now was not getting them filled. And it was end of September before they were filled. And I struggled with like wondering, what do I do? How do I stay open? And where do these kids go? So this summer, as I was watching the budget proceed and realized we're probably not going to get what I need in order to stay open and affordable, I started talking with my colleague, Brooke Legler, who has a group center, to see if she would have a couple spots for the children I have left to take in September, because that's how childcare works.
Right.
We rotate our kids in September because that's when they go to school. And so, yes, she was that she would be able to get them in. So I'm at peace with how I'm closing, but I'm very upset and, you know, angry. I mean, be honest, I'm angry that I'm closing in this way because I was not ready to close my business.
Well, and you've been doing this for 18 years, and we've talked about this many times before, Corinne. You weren't doing this because you were making just scads and scads of money, and you have a second home in Vienna or wherever. And you were doing this because you like children, and you believe in preparing kids to go to school, and that is not just babysitting. What you do and what so many of our childcare providers do is really set them up to learn and teach them how to learn. So yeah. I think there's a lot of misconceptions about what our child care providers do.
Oh, yes, absolutely. All the hours and all the trainings, all the courses, all of, you know, I am passionate about inclusion of children with disabilities and making sure that they have places to go. I've had over 15 children who have had special needs, as small as speech and as large as autism. And, you know, really taking the time to learn about those kids and how to meet their needs, and also really work with their parents to first take away the stigma that it's not anything they did wrong as a parent, that their child needs extra support,
right,
but then give them help and support and how to access that. And you know, that's a lot of what I do too, is teach parents how to be better parents and how to navigate parenthood and just, you know, prepare these kids to be good humans. And not only do I have kids up to the age of 5, but in the summertime and after school, I get my alumni, I call them, they come back. And so, you know, I have had kids now this summer, an 11-year-old, she's been with me since born. And, you know, it's wonderful that I get to get her back in the summertime and, you know, continue that care and education that they need when there's no school available.
Right.
And I think that's the biggest piece we're missing, is that school is one thing, preschool, keep pushing down, what, fine, whatever. But what do those parents do outside of those hours? They rely on childcare and high quality environments for their kids to learn. And schools rely on us to exist so that those kids are in good places,
yep,
during the summer and before and after school. And, you know, it's just, it's a vicious cycle that we are perpetuating for absolutely no reason.
Kareen, for people who don't know, and we're watching the budget talks and the signings that happen, some of them might be saying, well, there was money put into the childcare funding and you guys got money. Why are you closing? What's the problem? Can you explain to them the truth behind the funding that you were going to be getting through the budget that was signed a couple weeks ago by Governor Evers?
Yep, absolutely. So, yes, $360 million was allocated to childcare. $1 billion was closer to the number that we were asking for total. And so we got about a third. $480 million separately was for direct state investment to get us back to the monthly payments we were receiving in 2021 and 2022. And how much has inflation gone up since then? Let's be honest. Like, that's not even what we needed. And so of the $480 million direct, that goes to 4,700 regulated programs, about 200,000 children and 30,000 teachers and employees. We got $110 million for 11 months. When you break that down with those massive numbers, you understand it's tiny. And it's not, you know, nearly what we need in order to keep teachers in place. And one of the things that I did notice that was in the budget was Senator Markline earmarked, $2 million was earmarked for Senator Markline's district. I don't know if he did it, for Southwest Hospital, for a grant, which they already had matching funds, in order to build a childcare center at the new hospital. Well, this, I've talked to some of the providers in that area. They have empty classrooms and they're terrified their teachers are going to go now work at this hospital because the company that is going to run it is out of Minnesota, has over 100 programs. They can offer a little bit more money. So they're going to take those teachers from those small locally owned businesses and they're going to hire them because they're qualified and can pay more. And then those programs are probably going to close, because they can't then hire new teachers. And so, yes, the idea is to open new programs because ideally you'll get more spots. But if you don't have teachers, it doesn't matter. We have 33,000 empty seats sitting right now in programs. I don't know of a single group center that does not have empty spots because they don't have enough teachers. By adding to the, it adds to the problem, it doesn't take away, and you end up actually making fewer slots overall because of the closures.
Yep. Just for to clarify for folks who are listening, you're not talking about open spots for kids. We're talking about needed childcare teachers.
No.
We need.
Open spots for children, because there's no teachers to fill, to be there for the kids. So these programs have, like Brooke in my community she could have 60 more children in her program, but she doesn't have the teachers for those kids. And there's kids on that wait list. And so the problem is the teachers and being able to afford to pay the teachers, but parents can't pay enough for us to pay ourselves or teachers.
Well, and it goes back to, another Republican fix for this was, well, let's just lower the age of teachers and let's lower the qualifications for teachers. Let's just bring in some 15-year-olds, and that's going to replace someone who has been educated in child development and all of those things. There's the fix. That's not a fix.
No, not at all. And especially when I have kids in my program that are exhibiting some behaviors like biting, I have a hard time talking to those parents about why the child is getting bit and why the child is biting and how to support that and how to move through it, because it's a developmental stage. I don't know how a 16-year-old is going to have that conversation with a parent. I have that's not going to happen.
No.
That 16-year-old is going to be blamed. Those parents are going to be mad. And I really would want to make sure that there's a requirement if we have people under, if we have children watching children in our programs, that there needs to be parents signing off, understanding that that's who is in that classroom at that time. And another thing is a lot of insurance companies aren't going to allow it. So these solutions are things that we're not even going to be able to access, or they tell us it's a choice. Well, I'm sorry, it might be a choice, but it, you know, I might starve to death and you might offer me moldy food and I'm choosing to starve. But at the same time, like, it's not a choice.
It's not a choice.
It doesn't have to be.
If you're just joining us, we are talking to Corrine Hendrickson, who is a family child care provider, had to make the very difficult decision to close her business. Announced it last week on Pat Kreitlow's show about it. And Corrine, one of the things that, you know, I guess because I don't work in Madison and I don't work in this industry, I guess the question I have for you is the responses you may have gotten from those who didn't want to give you the money. What they gave you these official fixes, whether it and when I say fixes, I mean in heavy quotations. But I guess to me, the question I have for you is, why wouldn't they just say, yes, here is more money to educate our children? It seems short-sighted is a nice way of putting it, but it seems like deliberate and just mean-spirited to say, well, we're not going to give you the money and you have to deal with it. And if you can't, then, well, that's the free market.
Yeah, I wish I knew, because they refuse to tell us why. They refuse to say why they do not want to invest. And so I can infer it's because they want women to stay home. I can infer that it's because they don't think our children are worth a penny. I can infer a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. I can, think that they think 16-year-old and more children is the answer, because they're looking at children as a mathematical equation and not as human beings, and that we're taking away their ability to thrive. We are going to put them on the path to go to prison, which, hey, by the way, you get $1 million for a child to incarcerate them per year. So for the low, low price of 480 incarcerated children, we could support our entire child care system.
I want to touch on that moment, that point of young people teaching. And it was either you or Tricia Peterson who spoke about it. And I'm going to phrase this cautiously. There's nothing wrong with younger people teaching children, because you have programs which will basically be like apprentice programs where they can learn. They're paired with an adult teacher, someone who has experience, and that type of program, as someone who was an apprentice, seems like a great thing to fund, to take those 16-year-olds that you say, yeah, you can teach, but let's make it so over the next 5 years you're going to learn all those skills, and then when you're 20 something, you're certified, you're ready, you can open your own business or whatever. But I mean, there is the kernel of truth that 16-year-olds working this job isn't a bad thing if they have the supervision, the oversight,
the mentorship,
and the desire to do it. It can't also just be like, hey, do you want to babysit this summer? And they're actually teaching kids.
Yeah, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. Minnesota actually is doing a mentorship program where the children, the students, adults also are able to access the classes for free. And then the mentor gets paid by the state to do the mentoring. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then the mentee gets paid by the state to learn. And so it's not overhead cost on us as the child care owners to do that. And yes, like, I would love to apprentice, you know, a 16, 17-year-old in my program where I can teach them and I can watch them and observe them and give them positive feedback and let them open their own family child care when they're, you know, mid-20s. That'd be fabulous.
Yep.
But the way we're doing it right now is we're throwing these children in to the wolves, and they're going to run away screaming and not even want children mm-hmm. by the time they're done with this experience.
You know, Corrine, this could all be fixed if women like you would just do it for nothing. You know, I just, gee, that'd just be such an easy fix if women just dropped out of the workforce and did labor for free. I think that that's the answer.
I'm going to say nothing right now.
Ron Johnson has told me that to my face.
Oh, God.
That you should do it for free?
Yeah.
Seriously.
In his office. Yes, in his office a few years ago when I was in D.C. He literally said, wouldn't an elegant solution be for moms like you to watch other people's children while they work? And I was like, for free? And he did not respond to that. And so that answer was a yes.
Well, I got to digest that for just a minute.
I'm never going to forget that.
And
ever.
We're going to continue our conversation with Corinne Hendrickson when I recover. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
Facing addiction? The Wisconsin Addiction Recovery Helpline offers free confidential support 24/7. Call 211, text your zip code to 898-211, or chat at 211wisconsin.org. Help is waiting. Sponsored by United Way of Wisconsin.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In February of 2024, Governor Tony Evers signed new maps for the Wisconsin State Legislature into law, putting an end to one of the most extreme partisan gerrymanders anywhere in the country. While that was a momentous achievement for democracy in the state, that wasn't the end of the story. Since then, for more than a year, Fair Maps advocates and pro-democracy activists have been looking to take the next step and propose a new plan for independent redistricting in Wisconsin that would be here for the long haul. It's a compelling, well-constructed plan that would take the job of drawing maps away from the politicians who run for office on those very maps. In this new feature story, I take a closer look inside this citizen-led grassroots effort as it goes from the idea phase to being presented to the public. Because we absolutely need a long-term solution for redistricting reform in Wisconsin so we don't end up seeing either political party gerrymander Wisconsin's maps ever again.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I imagine we'll talk about Superman. It's the same thing I said about F1. It's a great video. The music is great. The action's great. The CGI is great. I don't feel like they had to really develop the characters. It was fine.
I thought they did a really good job of showing Superman's, you know, humility.
I agree with you there. One of my positives, it wasn't 2 hours and 40 minutes like every other blockbuster movie this summer, but lots to like there.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 10:30 news, we will lighten it up as we always do with a segment we call Audio Sorbet. Calvin? Kind of hanging out here waiting for the sorbet. Harps audio sorbet after 10:30 will be, do you subtitle or dubs? Do you read subtitles when you're watching television or a movie, or do you do the dub route? That is our groundbreaking conversation we'll have after 10:30, and then we'll wrap it up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Here Kitty Kitty edition. Right now, Corinne Hendrickson is our guest, 18-year child care provider in Wisconsin, and now is going to be closing, sadly, at the end of August, because the budget agreement that was reached here in Wisconsin is not doing enough for our child care providers. And right before we had to take a pause You mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Corrine, that I don't know that Greg and I have ever heard this before.
I've never heard this.
I think let's go back to that conversation you had with Wisconsin Senior Senator Ron Johnson about the need for child care in Wisconsin. How did that go?
So, yeah, I was there with Main Street Alliance. There were several of us talking about small businesses and the need for investment in things that would support small businesses, including childcare. And he called me healthcare about three times also. And I kept correcting him and saying, no, I run a childcare. And then I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home. And so the other moms can go to work at their whatever, maybe more important jobs, I don't know, so that they can go to work and then you can keep their kids. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that. And he just kind of looked at me and tried to change the subject really quickly. And Sean actually then said, you don't think that people like her should be able to run their small business and get paid? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know. And then the conversation moved on. It was a group of men and women, and with the women, he was very much in our faces. And then when the men talked, he was very laid back.
No.
So the group of us tried really hard. Like, the guys in there were very supportive. And so they would try in their way to kind of like say what they could to bring the conversation back around and talk about how, as restaurant owners, they needed childcare for their employees and things like that. And it was just, it was a 101 in what is wrong with our elected officials, honestly.
Okay. Where do I start? First of all, an elegant solution. That was him trying to be fun or
yes,
whatever. And once again, missing the mark, as he always does, as he needs a sense of humor and human emotions to do that. But also, do you think there is a business person on earth who would walk into his office who would say, I'm struggling, I need help? Like I manufacture a widget that, you know, steals something for cars. Do you think he would dare have the notion to say, well, if you just did it for free, I mean, why don't you just do it for free? Then, well, you should be fine. I mean, what's wrong with just doing your job for free? Then you don't have to worry about it.
Why didn't he tell the restaurant owners to get servers who will just do it for nothing? Then that's our answer. That's our answer for everything is we need more people doing jobs who don't get paid. That's the fix.
Well, it kind of is how.
That's the fix.
Kind of how things work. That's kind of how things work. We exploit people for the lowest amount possible.
Yeah.
They can get richer. I mean, it is what it is. They just don't say it so blatantly obvious. And I do think it's because women in general, our entire system of childcare is built on the backs of women with young children who quit their jobs, who cannot find care, who open their own family childcares or go work in a group center so that their kids can be around other kids and they can bring in a tiny amount of salary. That is what our entire system has been built on historically. And it has worked in the past because enough of us are willing to do it. Well, we're no longer willing to do it. And also, any job pays way more than what we get paid. And so there's not people that are, I guess, desperate enough to like have some income and do this high, high intense job that is mentally, physically exhausting and draining, but yet at the same time, so wonderful and fulfilling at the same time. And that's kind of what keeps us going. And that's why we're in this weird space.
Yeah.
And that's why the system keeps perpetuating upon itself. And we need to get elected reps at the state and federal level who absolutely understand that childcare is education for our children. It is workforce development. It is criminal, gets rid of crime, reduces healthcare costs. It is the linchpin of our entire society. And if we care about kids, we need to take care of them from the beginning and their families and the communities that support them.
I feel like the bar is set really low at this point, where I would just like to have a representative who understands the difference between a healthcare provider and a child care provider. Can we let's just start there?
Well, if you would like to call Ron Johnson and point out the distinction between healthcare and child care, there's an easy way for you to get a hold of him.
Very easy.
Go to myvote.wi.gov and let Senator Ron Johnson know how you feel about his idea that the elegant solution to our child care problem is just for women to drop out of the workforce and watch everybody else's kids for free. I think I might call. MyVote.wi.gov. Let Rojo know what you think about him in the nicest way
possible. Hashtag let Rojo know.
Let Rojo know. Corrine Hendrickson, thank you so very much for making time out with us. We will continue our conversations with you and love to see politics. I don't know. Maybe think about it.
We'll see.
We'll see. Corrine Hendrickson, thank you so very much. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
You're welcome. I will have lots of time.
Yeah.
Great. We have news coming up next, and then we'll come back with audio sorbets. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air, myvote.wi.gov, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Tap. As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Months after emerging victorious in the most expensive state Supreme Court race in American history, Justice-elect Susan Crawford is finally set to be sworn in. Crawford will officially take her seat on the court for a 10-year term on August 1st with a ceremony in the state Capitol Rotunda at 4:30 p.m. Her victory in the April election preserved a 4-3 liberal majority on the state's highest court. State Appeals Court Judge Chris Taylor has announced her candidacy for the 2026 election, which could further solidify the liberal majority. A proposed bill in the Wisconsin State Legislature seeks to address a shortage in the number of school bus drivers across the state. According to the Wisconsin Department of Transportation Division of Motor Vehicles, the number of bus drivers in the state has fallen by nearly 20% over the last 15 years. The legislation would make it easier for older drivers to keep their license by requiring drivers over 70 years old to retake their driver's test every 4 years instead of every 2 years. About a quarter of school bus drivers in the state are over 65 years old. A section of eastbound I-94 near Menominee was shut down on Monday morning following a crash involving two commercial vehicles. According to the Wisconsin State Patrol, the crash occurred at around 11 a.m. near mile marker 48. Their initial investigation found that one of the commercial vehicles rear-ended the other while it was on the shoulder of the highway. One of the vehicles caught on fire and one of the occupants suffered minor injuries. The section of highway was closed for hours with a detour in place between exits 48 and 52. The criminal cases against a pair of Cumberland residents accused of delivering methamphetamine during a drug sting will go to trial this fall. 39-year-old Nicholas Schick and 35-year-old Amber Hirsch were both charged with felony delivery of meth as party to a crime in Barron County Circuit Court in relation to the drug sting. Both entered not guilty pleas to the charges, and jury trials for both were scheduled for November 3rd. If convicted, Schick and Hirsch are facing up to 12.5 years in prison and fines of up to $25,000. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. If you're looking for a whodunit that takes place in a beautiful setting, here's one of Pete's picks that will fit the bill. Untamed stars Aussie actors Eric Bana and Sam Neill and is set in Yosemite National Park. Bana plays a federal agent who oversees the park alongside state park rangers led by Neill. The first scene, which involves two rock climbers and a dead body, will knock your socks off. Bana's character Kyle Turner tracks a killer while dealing with his own demons. Untamed dropped July 17th on Netflix, where all six episodes are available to stream. Wes Anderson fans, listen up, yo. His latest effort, The Phoenician Scheme, will be available to stream later this week. Deadline.com has announced the film will drop on Peacock Friday, July 25th. The film by the director of Rushmore and Bottle Rocket is certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes and stars Benicio del Toro, Tom Hanks, Michael Cera, and Scarlett Johansson. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Partly sunny and getting warm and muggy today. High temperatures tapping the upper 80s and really with the heat index feeling more like the mid-90s. Then tonight, overnight, showers and thunderstorms roll through, continuing through our morning. We'll stay mostly cloudy tomorrow, with highs feeling more like 105 degrees. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 73 degrees at our studios.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. An important topic, the increase in death by suicide by Wisconsin elderly. Folks from Wisconsin Watch will join us and discuss. Be here.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, and if you have the Civic Media app. Which you should.
You should.
Because we're doing free ticket Fridays all summer long, where you have a chance to pick up a 4-pack of Milwaukee Brewers Club level tickets. I understand the crew is hot right now.
Oh, the crew is so hot. 11 wins in a row. We are smoking officially hot. In first place by, I believe, a half a game
it's
or
very
one
exciting.
Full game. I am very, very excited. And I am, and the Blue Jays too. They're on an 11-game winning streak as well. But right now, we are officially, the Milwaukee Brewers are officially one game ahead of the Chicago Cubs in first place in the NL Central. And I will say this: we have a better record than almost every single team in every division in first place, except for the Detroit Lions. Which, by the way, I'm always happy when Detroit's winning.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's. Whew, but I'm doing that thing, Jane, where I'm saying, like, you know what? If they lose the 12th one, it's okay. It was a good run. It's fine.
You boys did a good job.
But all I'm going to ask, the final question I ask, George Webb's, is the offer still open? That's a very old reference.
It is.
Was it? I think it was 12 in a row. I think they won.
It was 12.
And they George Webb's gave free hamburgers out. I got some of those.
We'll check on that.
Yeah.
We'll check on that. But yes, you want to have the Civic Media app is the whole point.
Yeah.
Because that's the way you can enter for the free Ticket Fridays contest.
Mm-hmm.
And also a new feature on the app now is the voice note.
Yes.
So you can actually record a message to us and text it in.
Yes.
And we can listen to it.
Yeah.
Play it.
Whether you like us or not.
We clean it up for language.
Oh, yeah.
We do clean it up for language, but yes. So today, for Audio Sorbet, which is where we are right now, this is the portion of the program where we like to lighten things up, take a breath, get away from the news, have a couple laughs. Audio Sorbet for today is subtitles or dubs. When you are watching a movie or anything, actually, if it's a dubbed film, will you watch the dub or do you bring up the subtitles? Closed captioning, as it were. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC.
Yeah.
Dubs?
Wow,
or a closed caption with a long pause.
We should have had dramatic like music there. Wow, that was amazing. Like I'm like, what happened? Did news just break? Did something?
No, and we had a text from earlier that I wanted to share from Isaac, who texted in early in the show from Baraboo. He says, this is for the audio sorbet. This is Isaac. I usually turn on subtitles no matter what show or movie I'm watching. Thank you, Isaac.
So Calvin brought this one up because there are shows on Netflix that are in other languages. Mm-hmm. And Netflix, I mean, they're not the only one, but there are a lot of shows, I feel like, on Netflix that have just their base option is just dubbing. You don't even have to, like, choose it. It's dubbed into a language. I think the one I'm thinking of is Money Heist. It's dubbed from a different language into English. And for me personally, dubbing is off-putting. Like,
yes.
I can't watch it because I'll see their faces and their mouth won't match the words. And it's like when you watch shows on television and the audio isn't quite in sync with the video and it ruins your life.
Well, it's hard to stay up with the plot when you're so distracted by mm-hmm. that half a second,
yep.
right?
Yep.
Half a second delay, a half a second that's off with the lips and the sound yep. and all that stuff. And that's all I can think about then when I'm watching that movie. Is, oh, you were so close on dubbing that, but that didn't work.
Yeah. I think that I'll watch movies dubbed, especially like, you know, movies from Hong Kong or from China or Japan. I think that it's my brain has negotiated the differences, but when it's just, I can't do dubbing. It just throws me way off. I have to do subtitles. That's how and to be perfectly honest, subtitles are how I watch shows in English too.
Thank you.
Which, no.
It's not just me.
Oh, it certainly is not you.
I think my whole closed captioning thing started with the final season of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Because not only was it so dark, you could barely see anything. I couldn't hear anything. So I started putting the closed caption on it so I could at least know what was going on while they were flying around in dragons in the complete dark. But now it's like fight scenes mm-hmm. and explosions yeah. are so loud compared to the dialogue that now I have closed caption on all the time.
Yeah.
So I don't have to blast people out of the room because if I have it loud enough to hear the dialogue, then when the explosions happen, it's like I'm going to get shot across the room.
And the whole point of this conversation started with the, do you do subtitles or dubbing? But it immediately morphed into this where we're like watching television and the, because it's true. When I watch TV, the dialogue will be usually a certain level quieter. And then the action is so
loud.
And the commercials so
yes,
loud.
My husband says that too.
Calvin, you brought this topic up and you said that your parents have a very interesting history with this.
This is great.
Yeah. So, I mean, in college, I watched a lot of anime, Japanese animation, and I was a bit of a snob where I would only, it's a big debate, sub or dub. And
sub or dub.
Sub people are a little snobby and I tend to fall in that category because the dubs are a lot of times annoying
yeah.
in my opinion.
Yeah.
But yeah, my parents, I think it started with they tried to watch the first season of Squid Games
mm-hmm.
and they watched the dub and I would like catch pieces of it and it would just bother me that the dialogue wasn't syncing up to mm-hmm. the mouths. And then this goes even further. They decided they couldn't hear it, so they started using the subtitles, but kept watching the dub. So they were watching dubbed with subtitles.
That is we can have all these conversations. And it was funny because we had all these conversations before the show just to like, you know, we just got into it. We were talking about it. And then you said that, and I feel like you just stopped the room. We're like, wait, what?
That's great.
Why? Corrine Hendrickson, who was our guest earlier this hour, actually chimed in on our chat that says, I agree on the dubbing. I can't stand it when it doesn't line. I have to close out, go back in to start it again because just that it will correct itself when you start again. But then again, this technology.
Just a little off.
I shouldn't have to deal with this. I paid a lot of money for this television. But yeah, dubbing is just impossible for me to concentrate with. I have to do subtitles. And I said to the two of you, when I would go to my mother-in-law's house, she is a subtitle stan. She loves it. She does it all the time, period. That's always what's happening. And I was being like, why are we doing this? It's distracting. I don't like it. Why we can hear it. Turn it up. All the things that my brain was saying. And then one day I'm at home and I just turn it on. I go to myself, oh, wait, the subtitles aren't on. I got to turn the subtitle. I'm like, no, what did I do?
You got sucked into the subtitle vortex without even realizing it.
Yep.
Subtitles, closed captioning, or dubbed, which do you prefer? Which do you detest? 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-SICK. Our audio sorbet conversation for today. Terry from the Northwoods is on the line, not for audio sorbet, Terry, but you wanted to say something about the Brewers?
I just hope they stand pat. No trades. Keep that clubhouse together.
Yes, sir.
Don't tweak it. Don't tweak it.
Yeah.
Just let it be. That's all I got, guys.
Terry?
I want to have that.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, well, and it's kind of, Terry, it's kind of a surprise. I mean, I don't think anybody had big expectations for the Brewers this year.
No.
Right? It was like, yeah, hopefully we'll not suck.
Hopefully be a 500 team. That's what Paul said. That's what JR said. That's what I said. I don't have as much knowledge of baseball as they do. Terry, thank you so much for calling and giving us your opinion on the matter. I totally agree. Keep it straight down the air, straight down the
don't
path.
Don't mess with
don't
anything
mess with
right
it.
Now.
You got great pitching. You got great
tweaking.
Bats. And by the way, Terry, I just want to say, and I'm going to speak on behalf of Jane and Todd when I say this. We went to the Northwoods this past week. It is so lovely.
Yes.
Loved being in, I don't know where you're from exactly, but in your neck of the woods. It was just so beautiful. Yeah. Thank you so much for calling, Terry.
Yeah,
we
really
appreciate
that, Terry. Terry Ryan listening on the on WAUK says, subtitles all the way. Thank you, Terry. Appreciate that. I agree with you. Now I leave them on for everything.
I do too. And for things that are like, even like, I know some people who will turn subtitles on when they watch BBC shows because I understand sometimes the accents are
can throw you a little bit.
But now it doesn't matter. It can be, I can be watching myself on video. I'll have subtitles on because I'm just like, you never know. I could miss something.
855-752-4842. Subtitles or dubbed? Do you have a preference? Do you use neither? Maybe your hearing's really, really good and much better than mine because I need subtitles now. 855-752-4842. And it gets to the point, because we were, again, when we were talking about this off the air, when you first start using closed captioning, that's all you're watching.
Yes.
Right? Is you're reading the dialogue and you're reading things as it goes along, so you might not be watching the action itself.
Mm-hmm.
I think it gets easier as you do it more.
I think so, too. I think you trust yourself to know that if there's no action happening, if it's just conversation, you're not missing much visually.
Right.
But I did mention this, too, that Netflix has been reported as their scripts for their original programming, excuse me, they over-explain things in the scripts. Their characters will over-explain what's going on because they know their viewers are actually listeners.
They're
looking
not
at their phone. They're looking at their tablet. They're looking at their device.
It's on in the background.
Yes, exactly. So they need to know what's going on. So it's all in the script. It's all in the back and forth. So that to me says a great deal about us. Us, not you, of us.
Us. Carmela from Milwaukee listening on WAUK. Definitely subtitles. Like Jana got tired of trying to hear what they were freaking saying, especially after rewinding numerous times, trying to figure out what I missed. I also find it hysterical when subtitles have misspellings
or
they use the wrong word.
Yes. Yeah.
Little moments of happy there.
We were watching a show called, and I can't remember the name of it right now. We watched it. Oh, Good Cop, Bad Cop. It's a CW show. It's kind of ridiculous, but it's fun. And the subtitles were so far behind. They were like think about time as a construct. They were a solid 45 to 60 seconds behind. We just had to turn them off because we're like,
oh my God, you must have been so confused.
It's like three seasons. I will say this too, and you know this, and anyone who watches subtitles, I think the only problem with subtitles is the reveals come immediately. So
if it's a long, slow conversation, they get to the spoiler
before anything's I'm oh man, now I know who killed the guard. It was the other guard. Yes.
All right. When we return, this shouldn't be a thing. Today it is the Hey Kitty Kitty edition. Calvin found another good one. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Mayer on Air on the vast statewide, countrywide Go global with the app, baby. Civic Media Radio Network.
Building and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. The U.S. Department of Justice sent letters to 12 secretaries of state requesting their complete voter records as part of President Trump's executive order on elections. The reason for the request isn't completely clear, nor is the legality of such a request, which may violate the privacy and free speech rights of U.S. citizens. Back in May, we reported that DOJ requested records on Colorado's 4.65 million registered voters. To date, similar letters have been received by Alaska, Arizona, Florida, Minnesota, Nevada, New Hampshire, New York, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, and Wisconsin. An email sent to Rhode Island officials asked to collect, quote, voting information as part of the department's efforts to implement President Trump's executive order preserving and protecting the integrity of American elections, unquote. It goes on to request a discussion on sharing information to find illegally registered voters, fraudulent voters, and enforcement of federal law. New Hampshire Secretary of State declined, citing state statute keeping voter rolls, quote, private and confidential. In addition to the Herculean logistics of such a request, Loyola Marymount Law School's Justin Levitt writes that such requests may not be legal under the Privacy Act of 1974, prohibiting the federal government from obtaining information on free speech activities, including voting and other personal information. We've linked the DOJ letters at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I've been trying to learn sheepshead for 40 years. My father-in-law is still a card counter, knows what everybody has. It is so easy to go, oh gosh, I still don't know who the partner is. And is that a trump card or is it not? And so I'm still asking myself all these questions while they're busy taking all of my nickels. The one thing that got me where they allow me to play is getting the app. For all the technology that's out there, that is one of the positive notes.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We will not be here tomorrow. Calvin will be here. Matt Rothschild, it is going to slip in to our show and cover it for us tomorrow with Kevin producing. We are going to Madison, Civic Media's headquarters, world headquarters, for our annual Beat the Hosts About the Face and Neck with Sticks. So we do this once a year. It's fine.
I was told there's going to be pie.
And after they beat us around the face and neck with sticks, it's fine. It's fine. So Matt will be here tomorrow. We will be back with you on Thursday, but we're going to do our show from Madison.
Correct.
So, but Calvin, you are still going to be producing for us on Thursday, aren't you?
I will be here. Looking forward to it.
Double checking.
we'll make sure
everything's okay.
We'll make sure our show's completely in subtitles. That's a reference to the last segment. We talked about subtitles.
Like that very much. Okay, it is just about 10:54. That means it is time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays. JaneSays@civicmedia.us. Calvin, as always, found this one. This is from CBC Canada News. Courtney Dixon with the byline. Headline
story,
reads,
eh?
Yeah. Hey. Headline reads, BC couple dodging dozens of calls about their missing cat, but their cat isn't missing. Natasha Lavoie's phone number is featured on a shirt by a U.S. designer. For more than a year, Natasha Lavoie and her partner Jonathan have been fielding dozens upon dozens upon dozens of phone calls from strangers saying they have found their cat, Torbo. They don't have a cat named Torbo. They do have a cat named Mauser.
Yeah.
He's not missing.
He's right there.
He's right there. They have photos of him.
Yep.
Sometimes, like six times a day, I'm getting these really random phone calls and people leaving me voicemails saying that they found my cat and they want money in order for me to turn over my cat. I'm like, my cat's at home in the air conditioning. I don't know what you're talking about. After months of this and trying to figure out why this was happening, she finally asked someone how they got her number. The caller explained the number was listed on a shirt that looks like a missing cat poster. So somebody's got a t-shirt with a kitten on it that says missing cat, and underneath is the phone number. She said, why would you use that phone number on that shirt?
I have a feeling it was a randomly picked, like you just
It was a randomly generated number.
You just picked 10 number. I mean, I think in Canada, it's the same system as ours. It's going to be 10 numbers, and you just simply put it on. Yeah, and you think, well, you know, it's a number. Who's
going to do that?
Jane, who in their right mind would call it?
Hundreds of people.
Exactly.
CBC News reached out to the company that made this shirt. Wisdom.
Yeah.
WISDUMB. Wisdom.
Gross.
New York.
I hate that.
Created this shirt and says they are no longer selling it online. Although on their Instagram page, they do have photos of missing cat posters with various area codes attached. The use of a real number within this artwork was not intentional, according to customer service at this Wisdom New York website. Okay.
I think it's very, I don't know, there's call me what you will. I think there's something very sweet about the fact that this woman who's being called many times a day, she doesn't change her number. She wouldn't do that. You know,
she's hesitant to change her number.
Yeah.
She said, we've thought about it, but we have a 604 area code. That was British Columbia's first area code. It's like New York. And now you can't get it anymore.
That also feels very Midwest. I don't want to get rid of my 414.
I'm not changing it.
My number 262. I'm not getting rid of that. That's where I grew up.
I've had my number for 20 years. She says, I don't want to change it. I'll just keep not answering. And their cat is fine. So if you do see a t-shirt with a missing cat on it, it's got a number, don't call it. Don't call it.
I just love this. I love the idea that people may. Well, I don't like the idea that people are like, if you want your cat, I want money. I have to imagine some people called and said, hey, I think I saw your cat. I think I found your cat.
Half the time they just cut you off and go like, no, I've got your cat. I want money for the cat.
Okay, never
mind. And then they hang up.
Oh, man.
She does say, and I think this is the final word, I feel like I deserve a free t-shirt after this.
Wisdom, are you listening? I feel like you should get a t-shirt with the CEO's face on it and his phone number saying, missing CEO, missing intelligence.
Missing intelligence.
There it goes.
I like it. That wraps up today's episode of...
This shouldn't be a thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and all of our guests. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It really does mean the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little bit, and you have the chance to share it. We got news coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman, 11 to 2, Todd Alba, 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn, 4 to 6, Pete Schwabe, 6 to 8 p.m. with Nightlight and some great evening entertainment as well.
Yep.
Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and we'll see you on Thursday.
Listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche says he wants a meeting with imprisoned Jeffrey Epstein associate Ghislaine Maxwell. CBS's Aaron Navarro says it comes as the administration faces pressure to release Epstein case files.
The Deputy Attorney General said that this was at the direction of Attorney General Pam Bondi, who has seen some flack and criticism in the last couple of weeks over her handling of the Epstein documents.
Heat alerts are up for millions of people in many parts of the nation's midsection. This mother's trying to keep her kids cool in Oklahoma.
We stay in the shade, lots of hydration, a lot of water.
Greece is in the throes of a third major heat wave this summer. This American tourist in Athens is trying to keep cool.
It's been a little tough so far, but in the heat, not the greatest feeling ever. I didn't really plan for this, didn't really know there was a heat wave happening, so I've just been adapting by drinking lots and lots of water.
CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.